Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to use the reading out of Isaiah 66 as our text today. I used to believe and know it was obviously true that the first important word that comes out of a baby's mouth is dada. But I've come to see the error of my ways and now know that obviously it is grandpa. And I've heard it even when it wasn't there. But usually the baby's first word isn't dada, is it? Usually it's mama. I know some of you are going to tell me your baby said hippopotamus or something else, because I always hear those stories, but it's almost always mama as the first word, or mom, or something like that, and it's delightful when a child says those words. They may be hungry or scared or in need of something, but they don't say that they're hungry or scared. They just say mama, and that takes care of all their troubles. Babies don't worry about tomorrow. They do not check the shelves to see if there are enough groceries around to feed them. They just have mama. I wonder sometimes if that isn't the best beginning of a definition of what it means to know peace that flows like a river. During heavy rains, the ditches and the fields in Iowa will flow with water brim to brim. There's never water in them. They're always dry, except for when it rains. When I went to Iowa as a young pastor, there was a family that lived near the church had a teenager named Michael. It was Michael Lechner was his name. Came and told me a story. When he was 5 years old, he went out to one of those streams that was flooded from a recent rain, and he put a message in a bottle that had his name and address on it, and he screwed that lid on, and he threw the bottle in that drainage ditch in his pasture, and he went back to the house. Of course, you know, odds are he'd never see that again. A few weeks later, he got a letter from a young man who lived along the Mississippi River near the Gulf of Mexico, and he had found that bottle. Now, the young man was a teenager now, and had been pen pals now for 10 years. The young man who found the bottle was a 21-year-old guy, and for 10 years they had written back and forth. I understand the concept of a river as big as the Mississippi, that is fed by rainstorms all around the Midwest, so that rains in Iowa flow into a ditch, that flow into a creek, that flow into a river, that flow into the Mississippi. I understand where the water in the Mississippi comes from. I have never understood where mountain streams come from. I've stood beside them and watched them, and I can see the top of the mountain, and it's not raining up there, and I see the water running, and it's gushing down the side of a mountain. And I know there's probably snow melting or there are springs feeding that water that's gushing down. But if you went to a hill in Kansas and you had truckloads, trainloads of water, it would be hard to keep that much water flowing down the hill, and yet it never dries out. I bring it up because if peace is like a river, which river is it like? Is it like the one that flows when the things are good and the rain's falling down? Or is it like that mountain stream that always flows with that clear, fresh water? I want to know because I want peace that's there all the time, that just washes over me in the good days and the bad days. How can I have that kind of peace in my life? How can I feel like a baby who knows how to say the name of mama and feel comfortable with that? There was a man who was very well off, who lost all of his wealth in the great fire of Chicago. His little 4-year-old boy was sick at the same time, and he died soon after. To alleviate his grief, he threw himself into the rebuilding of Chicago, using all of his time and energy to help the thousands who didn't have homes to have a place to live. And finally, when he was near exhaustion, he decided he would take his wife and 3 daughters and they would take a vacation and sail on a ship to England. So he booked the tickets to the ship, and at the last minute he couldn't go. So he sent his wife and 3 daughters on the ship, and the ship crashed into another large ship and it sunk. And he got this telegram from his wife that said she alone had survived. The 3 daughters all were lost. And so the man got on a ship himself and rushed to sail across the Atlantic to be with his grief-stricken wife. And as they're sailing across the Atlantic, the captain comes to him one evening and says, "I don't want to bother you," he said, "but we're crossing the place in the ocean where your daughters were lost." And he thanked the captain and he stood on the deck for a while. Then he went back to his cabin to try to sleep. And he couldn't sleep, and he wrote the hymn we just sung, "It is well with my soul, in his cabin in the ocean where his daughters had been taken from him. It appears to me he said everything we need to know about grief. He didn't say, I feel this peace. He said, you have taught me to say it as well. It begins with a statement of faith. Look how God provided manna in the wilderness. He said, I will provide food for you every day. But he said, one rule is you cannot take enough for tomorrow. Every day you have to get up and just take enough for that day. Look how Jesus taught us to pray. He said, in the Lord's Prayer, pray, give me this day my daily bread. Moses had his back to the Red Sea, the army of Egypt coming at him. He prayed to God, what shall I do? He's trapped there. And God said to him, stop praying and start marching. And he turned and he began to march the people into the Red Sea, and God parted the waters as they went. David did such a sin when he was king of Israel that God actually sent a plague upon the entire country of Israel. What terrible sin did David do? He numbered his army. He counted the troops in his army. God wanted him to know that the reason he was not a shepherd boy anymore and the reason he was the king over all of Israel wasn't because he had an army, wasn't because he was good with a sling. It had to do with the fact that God had promoted him and God had chosen him. Rule number one is that if you're going to have a peace that flows like a river, it's got to be something God gives you. The source has to be God. Thanks to the generosity of many church members, I have accumulated enough material to build a greenhouse. I have doors, I have windows, I have salvaged wood from two different decks, removed all the nails. I had it lying there and I realized I cannot turn that into a greenhouse. I couldn't do it. It's impossible. I could build a structure. I've already done that once. It's an embarrassment and a shame to my wife when she steps out on the back door. She would like me to burn it down, actually, but we're thinking of siding. So I called Dick Homer up. Dick Homer can build anything out of anything, and it's remarkable. I have this beautiful greenhouse. I need some more windows because I've broken two of them, but we're built. It has a glass ceiling. It has three glass sides, and it looks beautiful. It's square. First thing he did was had us dig holes, 11 holes, 24 inches deep. You know how deep I dig a hole? I dig until I can't dig anymore, and I quit. You know what he does? He measures the hole. Well, Pastor, that's only 22 and a half inches there. It's close enough. Not for hole digging. It's not. You need somebody who knows what they're doing if you're going to build a greenhouse. That's all there is to it. Rule number one is that you need somebody who knows what they're doing. When you want to find peace that flows like a river, God knows what he's doing. Our peace cannot just be made of a life without troubles. That's not how life is. Real peace has to happen in the middle of a life that has problems, in the middle of a life that has burdens, in the middle of a life that has illness, in the middle of a life that has brokenness. We are handed days of our life that are often filled with trouble. We are handed days of our life that are often broken by circumstances of life. And sometimes we are handed good days and we break them and we ruin them. And the place we stand is a rough place. God is promising you peace in those rough places of your life. God begins by going where this hymn went. He goes to the foundation. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. You cannot build that peace with hard work. You cannot hope that you figure everything else. It requires a miracle. You live a faulty life. You work with faulty material. Your tools are broken. Jesus creates a miracle that makes you, the Bible says, a new creation. You can wait until all your troubles go away, and you can breathe back and have a sigh of relief and say, this is what peace feels like, and you will spend all of your life waiting, because this world will never give you a day when there are no troubles, because you carry with you ownership of everything you have broken, every time you have failed, everything you regret, everything you wish you would have done better. You carry all that with you. What is required is a miracle beyond anything you can do. God does that miracle. He takes the brokenness and removes it from you, takes the stain of sin and removes it from you, and he nails it all to the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what forgiveness is all about. Peace that has no end has to flow from someone who is without a beginning. God is the source of peace. Would you like that kind of peace in your life? Would you like to step forward into whatever trouble is plaguing you at this moment and know that you have peace in your life? Would you like to carry the burdens God has placed upon you and carry them with a peaceful heart? Here is where you begin. God purchased your peace. It is the reason for the cross. A price was required. God gifted you with the payment. I would like you to look around. And if everything you see around your life makes you afraid, if everything you see around your life makes you worried about the future, if you see a world that is broken around you, remember that you know a name that changes everything, and that name is Jesus. Jesus gives you the power to be at peace in the world. Jesus gives you the power to look around you and see a trouble and understand that God is on your side. Jesus gives you the power, you have it within you at this moment, to stand unafraid where you are and simply to say, my God is in charge of my life. That's where peace comes from. God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard this treasure we have in Jesus. Amen.